Hi, I'm Ray Zod.
And I'm Connor L.
And we do a Superman podcast.
Called The Last Sons of Krypton. And you are listening to the DCAU podcast.
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast. This week we are covering LEGO DC Batman Family Matters.
Yeah, lots of Batman and fam.
Yes, there is a lot of Bat Family in this film. Bat Family, I don't think, have been introduced anywhere else.
I know. I'm quite impressed.
So, and including the famous Bat Family member, Billy Batson.
Well.
I suppose, to be fair, he has Bat in his name. He doesn't have
He's an orphan. He's a child that hasn't yet been adopted by Batman.
Yeah. And to be fair, by the end of the film, he's not adopted by Batman, he's adopted by someone else.
No.
So, yeah, as I've just said off mic before we start recording, I watched this in a geek retreat on my phone.
Absolute best quality.
Yes. It's not like the phone's cracked or anything. So the film opens with Batman fighting Solomon Grundy with a car, tank, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, something.
Yeah. So that he can, instead of letting Solomon Grundy steal a precious artifact from a long-abandoned tomb, Bruce Wayne can put it in a museum.
Yeah. He's a very hassled Bruce Wayne throughout the film.
Yes, because the whole kind of conceit of this film is Batman doesn't want to be Bruce Wayne anymore.
Yeah.
And he thinks that Bruce Wayne doesn't contribute anything.
Yeah. Well, I've heard other people argue this before, but not from Batman. He's having a existential crisis about his normal alter ego, if billionaire industrialist or whatever Wayne Industries does, Wayne Enterprises does, is he understands that most capitalists are not useful.
Yeah, I know. But
I'm not entirely sure most vigilantes are, like, on the flip side. So
yes. I mean, it's so bad that even when the MacGuffin is literally being explained to him, he's too busy going, but I could be fighting a mugging right now.
He's like just super grumpy.
Yeah.
Like, I need more crime to fight.
It's almost like he causes the problems he then has to solve.
Almost that Bruce Wayne doesn't exist in the world outside of these films.
Yeah.
Where he's having to fight crime as Batman, and we're supposed to hand wave how the money happens.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, he's being introduced to Brother Eye.
Yes.
Which is an AI that makes OMAC drones.
Yep. Very scary.
And Bruce's entire response to this isn't, oh my god, this is a complete and utter overstep upon the civil rights of my people.
No, he's like, oh yeah, not really interested, sorry.
Or even from a point of view of, wait a minute, I can track crime everywhere.
Yeah, no, he's like, literally, I don't want to hear about it, I'm too busy being grumpy.
And he decides that he needs to sell Wayne Tech, or well, he needs, I've got to be honest, the most annoying Alfred in history.
Yeah, right, not a good one this time. I mean, he's not bad, because he's still Alfred.
But he's not MVP.
He's not MVP. Well, I don't know who MVP in this, honestly, is. But, yeah.
Batwoman.
Maybe.
I'm not entirely joking.
Yeah, maybe.
But, yeah, so
probably Billy, to be honest, as well. Not that I particularly like him, but, you know.
Yeah, there is actually, so as Bruce is saying he wants to sell Wayne Tech, it turns out that he's being watched twice. Once by what we later find out is Brother I.
Yeah.
And once by a mysterious man with a red helmet.
I wonder who this could be.
Yeah, I have to say, because the second I realised, oh, this is a Red Hood story, I was like, how are they going to get around the, he was killed?
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out, I think actually, for a kids movie, they handled it okay. I kind of put Red Hood in the same category as The Punisher, which I'm like, should he really be appearing in kids stuff?
I thought this wasn't as bad as it could have been.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, there's a lot of stuff that is in kids' stuff.
I mean, I know Punisher was in Spider-Man the Animated Series. That's how I heard of him first.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he fired laser cannons.
Nice.
I think they did an adaptation of the Spider-Man Turns into Man-Spider.
Right.
And the Punisher, and then the Punisher hunts him, and then it's Kraven the Hunter that actually saves the day.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, also at this point, we do get a small cameo from Billy Batson, who mentions Jason Todd in passing.
Just so he's in your mind.
Mm-hmm. So, it turns out that Red Hood is working with Two-Face,
mm-hmm.
who hates both Batman and Bruce Wayne.
Which, you know, fair.
And he would like to have two enemies, to be fair.
Yeah, but well, it makes things easier when you're Two-Face.
Yeah. So, he then finds out that Wayne Tech is for sale.
Because Bruce is throwing a strop.
Yeah. And meanwhile, it turns out that Damien is really, really desperate to go out on patrol.
Damien's quite sweet in this. He's not quite the grumpy Damien. It's like, it always surprises me. But I like it, you know, I don't mind. I like, this time you could kind of delineate which Robin was which I quite liked.
I think they also, because they mention in passing, so Nightwing appears in this, mm-hmm. Damien appears in this, surprise, surprise, Jason Todd is Red Hood. And I think,
yeah, I mean,
they
no shock
mention there. Tim in passing.
They do.
And then
they
just go, yes, Tim exists, but he's not in this film.
He's not here, sorry.
Because Lego does not sell a Red Robin, I'm guessing. Is the only...
Well, I have no idea. I mean, like, it may just be there's just too many to work out who they all are. If you start adding Tim to the mix.
Yeah. So, there is also... So, this seems to be a plot line that... And it makes less sense as you get further into the story, mm-hmm. which is that Batman is trying to stop Damien from going out too much. And when they're going, oh, it's because Jason Todd died, and they're kind of implying that, mm-hmm. that kind of sort of makes sense. You're going to go, well, why do you have a Robin at all?
Mm-hmm.
But at least you're going to go, well, it makes sense. Then it turns out later that's not what happened, so you're just going... So it's just a conflict to have a conflict, then?
I mean, look, I could hand-wave that and say it's because Damien's his actual son.
Yeah.
So I could argue that it's... While he's had Robins before...
Yeah.
Things didn't go well with Jason. Like, and also, you know, Damien is his son by blood, so... You know, I could see why he would be a little... And Damien's younger, right? Mm-hmm. It's been a while since he's had such a young Robin.
Also, there is a note left for Batman in the Batcave.
Which means someone knows to go to the Batcave.
Yes, Ninja Turtles through the sewer, as happened last week.
Right, I mean, wouldn't it be great if they came back to help?
So... But it's a note signed R.H. Red Hood. And Nightwing and
R.H.
Batgirl.
Is also my initials, I would just like to point out. So I had a particular chuckle at the note. I was like, oh, look, I'm leaving notes for Batman.
I mean, to be fair, you wouldn't leave loads, you'd leave, like, bombs.
Well, I probably wouldn't. Like, let's just be fair to anyone listening from law enforcement. No, I would leave notes, but they would. I actually would target him on social media going, I hate you.
Yeah, so anyway, it turns out Nightwing, Batgirl, and Batwoman all got the same note. Because they all meet at the same place. Batgirl and Nightwing's plot in this film is that Nightwing did not respond adequately quickly to a text.
It's a bit annoying, like, I have to say. It's like, I like seeing them being a little bit flirty and stuff, but, like, you know, to make her out like a bit of a crazed girlfriend is a bit...
Yeah. So the Bat family investigate the abandoned warehouse, where they are attacked by robots, and then greeted by Red Hood, who then names everyone apart from Damien.
Yeah.
Though he does seem to particularly hate Damien because he's wearing a Robin outfit.
Well, you know, it makes sense.
And we get the premise that will kind of take part from, you know, the second act of the film, which is Red Hood has planted 5 bombs in the city.
Yep.
They have an hour to find all of them, and they mention all the locations that those are. And immediately I'm kind of like, right, okay, the Monarch Theatre, that's weird. That's a specific reference.
It is a lot.
Also, the Bat family immediately go, why would you sell Wayne Tech?
Yeah, because they get that it's a dumb thing to do.
And as Batman goes to head, because obviously he picks Crime Alley to go to.
Yeah.
As he goes to leave, the tires of the Batmobile are stolen.
Well, as we know, this is how he met Jason.
Yes.
Bringing in my incredible DC knowledge into this.
Yes, I forgot that's how he met Jason. So I just thought this was a gag to set up the joke that happens for the next 10 minutes.
Mm. There's a lot of overstayed welcome jokes.
So the joke is, instead of using the Bat Jet, or the Bat Bike, or the Bat Boat, or the Bat Hovercraft, or the Bat...
Everything.
Or just swinging off rooftops because he's, you know, Batman. Batman instead decides to get a lift from a guy who needs to stop at
guy.
The shops.
It's true, though.
Meanwhile, at Gotham PD, Batwoman, instead of Batgirl, saves Jim Gordon.
Yeah.
And stops a bomb.
Yeah, she doesn't take much rubbish.
Oh, yeah, as I said, I think she's the best character in this film.
I mean, she very well may be.
She then gets knocked out by Red Hood after a chase scene. Then Batgirl arrives at a creepy carnival, which I take it used to have a circus in it.
I'm guessing. Just let me
a circus that might have once had the Flying Graysons.
There we go.
Batgirl then goes into a funhouse. The second I saw the funhouse, I was like, oh no, it's going to be Joker. And then it's not, it's Scarecrow.
Yeah, which is, that was a bit weird. That got me as well. Also, like, I'm personally pretty terrified of fun houses, so I never like it.
Yeah, it was when the so Batgirl ends up being attacked by her own mirror image because of fear gas. And the
Bond, yeah, that was pretty cool though. I mean, but it,
yeah,
it, I mean, it is nice for it not to be Joker, but the it was a bit weird. Yeah.
The other thing that does happen is the bomb goes off because Batgirl basically throws it in Scarecrow's face.
Yeah, which is, again, pretty cool.
And it bursts into confetti. And then Rob Red Hood surprises her and knocks her out.
Yeah, she's going to have, like, severe head trauma.
I think we can guess where this is all going.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, at the train yard, which apparently originally it was the train station, but it seems to be more of a yard, Robin and Nightwing battle Penguin and, for some reason, Riddler is also there.
Because why not?
He literally contributes nothing apart from a couple of bad jokes.
They're really bad as well. Like, so bad that I almost forgot he was in there.
Uh-huh. I mean, yeah. They're busy fighting Penguin bots and... at one point, Robin does some master building thing and builds a helicopter.
Yeah, which is cool, because it's a Lego film. So, you know, nice to get that in there.
So... after Penguin and Riddler are defeated and the bomb is defused, Red Hood instantly takes out Robin and then fights Nightwing. There's then a chase between the two of them that ends with Red Hood hitting Nightwing with a rocket propelled
grenade.
Yeah,
that's a little bit much, right?
Yeah, it's like everyone else, taser. Nightwing gets an RPG to the face.
Poor Nightwing.
So, yeah.
Because it is disproportionate. Oh, maybe he particularly resents Nightwing because Batman likes
because
him.
Because he's a better Robin.
He was, well, he was there before. He was the one directly before Jason. And, you know, he knows Batman probably would have done more to save it.
Yeah. So... Batman goes to the theater where Beware the Grey Ghost is playing, which I do like that reference.
I didn't get that one. Did I get
it's,
that one?
It's a reference to... It's probably one of the... It's like one of the best known Batman the Animated Series episodes. It's...
Oh, okay.
Batman, Batman gets to work with the person that inspired him when he was a child, which was a hero called the Grey Ghost. Who's
right.
fictional
I have
actor,
heard of the Grey Ghost. So
and he's played by Adam West.
Oh, that's probably why I've heard of him.
Because, yeah, so it's like Adam West gets a rerun in the animated series.
That's sweet.
So, Billy Batson is also there and basically goes, yeah, because Bruce Wayne sold Wayne Tech, now the orphanage isn't getting any money.
Yeah.
Because apparently Wayne Tech was paying this directly.
Apparently.
So... Two-Face arrives and... gets very easily defeated by Batman. Meanwhile, Billy Batson actually is the one who defuses the bomb.
I told you, he's pre-MVP.
Okay, no, okay. Because he gets a voice in his head. I just love that we're just about to start covering... I think this is the only Shazam film we're covering near the release of Fury of the Gods. Because I think there's a couple of episodes before we do... the one and only Shazam movie.
Film?
There's a Lego Shazam movie.
Okay.
I think it was released to tie in with
the other Shazam.
With the good Shazam.
Well, the first Shazam. I guarantee that I will probably like the Lego movie. Like, we'll talk about it when we get to it. I didn't hate Shazam. That's me being a little bit provocative this time.
So, Red Hood then says, "Oh no, the last bomb is in your house."
Yes.
So, Red Hood is waiting there with the Bat Family all strung up, including Alfred.
Which is funny.
I mean, I would have expected Alfred to have put up more of a fight, quite frankly.
This isn't MVP Alfred, though, you have to remember.
Fair point.
You know, like, it's lower standard.
This is not the Alfred that grabs a Superman pill and punches Kal-El in the face.
No, this is not. And sadly, maybe it should be.
Literally the only good thing to come out of the Injustice comic books.
Well. I quite like a bit of... Don't if Connor's listening. I didn't say it, but he knows I quite like some...
Well, Connor's meant to be on the next episode. I need to invite him.
Yeah.
That's why I don't want to annoy him. So anyway.
You already know. We've talked Injustice a lot.
Yeah. So Batman immediately goes, "You're Jason Todd." "You're Jason Todd. You know our names. The locations are all ones that are important to the history of each one of them."
Right.
So it's the train station where I met Talia. So he knows about Talia, but he doesn't call him Damien.
Yeah.
The GCPD where Barbara's dad works. Where Batman met Jason Todd. And the circus where Nightwing met... where
Nightwing's parents met their end.
And, yeah.
Sorry, that's a horrible way of putting it, but I was trying to
and
think
Dick
of like...
And Dick Grayson... met Bruce Wayne.
Okay, yeah, that's a nicer way of putting it.
And Batwoman does not get a mention here because she's just the new girl.
because Jason doesn't really understand, like, he doesn't know where she came from.
Except that she's got the best suit and is actually the most efficient of the lot.
He doesn't
know that. So... it turns out the source of the fight is... Batman got annoyed with Jason because he kept playing video games instead of saving the city.
That's quite a funny sequence, though.
And it pays off.
Aggressively, like, yeah, okay, bye.
And also, so Jason then storms off, and Batman, in a surprising act of being a responsible... I was about to say orphan owner.
Orphan owner.
He goes, "No, it's fine. I'll let Jason go off and do his own thing. I'll respect his wishes and not contact him. Mm-hmm. But I will have a satellite track him every day."
Tracking, yeah. Except when it's Brother Eye.
I mean, to be fair, it is literally about the most... respectful I can remember Batman being.
Yeah,
of anyone's civil liberties. And this,
although he still monitors it. So.
And this magically makes Jason go, "Oh, okay, you're alright then." And it's fine because the bombs were just confetti anyway.
Which is funny. And it's very Lego, isn't it? It's just confetti, yeah. Don't worry.
It then turns out that Brother Eye then attacks the city because Two-Face has bought Wayne Tech.
Because, I mean, is Two-Face supposed to be this rich?
Right, they explain...
I mean, I know he's supposed to be an attorney general or something, or DA, right?
They explain this. He watched a bunch of how-to videos about how to set up dummy corporations.
Oh, I missed that. I saw the how-to Alfred was watching about how to sell a company.
Yes, because Harvey Dent and Alfred start geeking out about how-to videos.
Yeah.
So, the Bat Family is then asked, "Okay, can you guys go deal with the OMAC drones that are attacking the city? And I have to somehow sneak into Wayne Tech... whilst convincing Two-Face that both Batman and Bruce Wayne are going into confront him.
Yeah. It's very funny.
And Red Hood also goes, but what can I do? Oh, you've done enough. So, we get intercut, basically, scenes of Robin and Nightwing and Batgirl and Batwoman working together to defeat OMAC. And, yeah, it's basically loads of scenes of them fighting and working together.
This is kind of a bit where the film lost me.
Mm-hmm.
The resolution was a bit like, oh yeah, generic fight.
Meanwhile, Batman manages to get into Wayne Tech, then starts manipulating Two-Face so that it is clear that there are two people there, including, amongst other things, arguing with himself whilst jumping in and out of costume behind a pillar. And actually, to be fair, calling himself out.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, Red Hood manages to sneak behind them.
Batman training there.
So, Batman also carries a cardboard cutout, Bruce Wayne. Which apparently fools Two-Face.
That says a lot about Two-Face.
So Bruce Wayne then goes out of the elevator, saying, oh, Batman's somewhere else. Only for Batman to emerge from the elevator.
Hooray.
Jason Todd is impersonating Batman.
Which is great.
Oh, it's brilliant.
I really like that bit.
He's even doing the voice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, it's really, really perfect.
It's Jason Spizak who's playing Jason Todd. That's, okay, funny. Jason manages to jump into the inner workings of Brother Eye. Who Brother Eye has gone evil.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is no shock, right?
And is saying, I have decided that Gotham is a bad place.
I mean, yeah, it is.
And the best way to fix it is to break everything down and rebuild it.
Probably. At this point, I mean, there's a point. But Brother Eye and OMAC are still bad, so...
Yeah. So, Bruce is at one point... So he fights Harvey Dent. And then gets kicked out of a building. Which he goes, okay, great, I can go put the bat suit back on. Also, Brother Eye has realised very quickly that Jason Todd's not Batman.
Yeah.
To
be fair, he's been watching everything Batman did.
I also put a note, Robin gets a chance to push all the buttons.
Which is great.
When Red Hood Red Hood then defeats Brother Eye, and the Bat Family figure out that the best way to prevent the satellite from destroying the city as it falls out of the sky is to deliberately crash two planes into it, because that wouldn't possibly lead to absolute metric tons of metal falling on the city.
Yeah, I mean, it's now beginning to sound as ridiculous as it is.
Yes.
But it's all still good Lego fun. Like, I mean, it's still very watchable.
So, Batman then takes out Two-Face and says to Red Hood, so you took out the backup generator, right? Brawleye then reactivates and decides to overload the nuclear reactor in the building.
Yeah, that does not sound safe.
Batman put a nuclear reactor in his building. And it's clear it's Bruce Wayne that did it. It's not even like it's a hangover from Thomas Wayne. So, as the reactor approaches meltdown, firstly, one, Brawleye does not believe it's a... No, I saw Bruce Wayne and Batman separately, so I know that you're not
they
Batman.
They cannot be the same.
So Batman then unmasks, reveals that he's Bruce Wayne, admits it. It then turns out Brawleye feels neglected because Bruce Wayne was mean about him on a phone call. So the solution to this film is Bruce Wayne apologizing for being a Richard Grayson.
It doesn't happen often.
And it's accepted at 99%. So the Bat family talk afterwards, have a post-fight croissant and playing video games. And yeah, that's the end of the film. Apart from the post-credit scene,
which I actually watched this time,
which is, yay, the orphanage is saved, and Billy Batson gets invited to go on a train.
Yes.
I wonder what the next Lego movie is.
Yes.
So yeah, that was Lego DC Batman Family Matters.
Pretty good fun.
Yeah, it was good fun. It was, you know, it's. It was fairly disposable, but they always are.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're Lego films, and they're always good fun.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see characters you don't see in other things, and, you know, I thought they did all right, mostly.
So, we've got four more films before the next Lego DC film, which is Shazam, Magic and Monsters, which is the next Lego movie. I think it is actually the last Lego movie, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
Before that, however, firstly, we have Batman Hush.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
After that, we've got Teen Titans Go versus the Teen Titans. Which
I've actually seen that one. That was the one that was in the cinema, right?
No, that was Teen Titans Go to the Movies, which we've already done.
Okay.
So, Wonder Woman Bloodlines, which is a Wonder Woman prequel to all the other DC animated movie universe films.
Right.
And then Superman Red Son.
Okay, that'll be interesting too, yeah.
Yes. So that's the next five we've got coming up. Actually, I've just seen what the movie we've got coming up after all that is, which is Justice League Dark Apocalypse War. So, have you appeared in any of our podcasts recently?
No. Connor's busy, and no, I'm just doing the new issues of Moon Knight at the moment, so not for another couple of weeks.
Okay, good. I, on the other hand, am still doing the Rise of the Robots podcast. We are covering Robot Wars Series 5. Cool. And realizing the first two episodes are nowhere near as good as we remembered.
Oh, no.
I know, the first two episodes are basically, what if we got the two kind of major stars that we have?
Yeah.
And they just absolutely destroy everyone because we'll put them against a bunch of junkers.
Yeah, not that fun, really. Yes.
Anyway, we will be back in a couple of weeks' time with Batman Hush. Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We're at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAU podcast at yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.